Zechariah chapter 4. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. I've enjoyed the service so far. And try not to hold you long tonight. Just try to just drop this in here real quick. I want to start in verse number 6. And we're going to read down through the chapter, but we're actually going to pick up and preach on down in verse number 10 and following there. 9 and 10, 14. Very familiar here. Then he answered and spake unto me, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring it forth with the headstone, therefore with shouting, crying grace, grace unto it. Verse 8, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. Verse 10, our scripture text, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Would you just stretch your hand this way and ask the Lord to help me as we preach tonight? Lord, we desperately need your touch tonight. We're fully aware of our inability. We're fully aware of our weakness tonight, Lord. We're aware of our needs, Lord, that there are needs in this place. God, we're also aware of your power and your mercy and your grace and your anointing that destroys the yoke. Pray, Lord, that you help us tonight, God, as we look into your word, that you move by your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to preach tonight from verse number 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? Talk to us for a little while about not despising small things. Amen. This world doesn't care about the little. They only pay attention to the big. The winners. Amen. Not who's necessarily in the race, but who's first. I heard the other day this talking about somebody won gold and what's after gold, maybe silver and bronze. And then was there one more? Okay, well, said that the one that won the gold, amen, he was just all smiles. Said the one that won the silver, he was brokenhearted because he didn't win the gold. And said the one that won the bronze, he said, I'm just so happy I didn't lose. He said, I almost lost. But the world, I heard a preacher say one day, said the world's only interested in winners. So that's why they put the bride's picture in the paper. Big bang, something big, talk about the things of God, we all want to do something great. We all want to do something mighty. We're going to do something great for God. But every one of us, you learn to count one at a time. And God, amen, is mighty. But God takes small things that the world despises. Matter of fact, preaching is foolishness to the world. But God chose preaching to save the lost. Amen. It's foolish to the world. They said, Paul, you're beside yourself. Said, you've learned so much, you've done went crazy. You're mad. He said, I'm not mad. He said, hey man, I've got a hold of something. Hallelujah. The world despises small things, and if we're not careful, we'll get in that same mindset in our life, and we'll despise small things. And I want to preach to us about this tonight. Amen. Despise not small things. You're going to come down, mountain. You're going to become a plain. Zerubbabel's going to lay the foundation of this house, and said, his hands shall also finish it. Amen. God's going to start it and God's going to finish it, because it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, he says. And somebody wrote a song and said, little is much when God is in it. Amen. Amen. Did you know that you and God make the majority? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter the army. It doesn't matter who's against you. If you are on God's side, you're going to win. Hallelujah. The foundation, you know, you drive by and look out here, and they might be building something, and you know, when we drive by, I think, man, they're making quite a mess out there. What is it? It takes them a long time. I think, man, what in the world? And now they've got the place, they'll put up a sign, say, future home of, you know, such and such, or, I mean, future home of Golden Corral or something like that. Man, we just get hungry right there, just driving by on the loop and seeing it. You know, just create an appetite right there. But my mother-in-law says I'm a lifetime member. But she calls it the hog trough. But she said, you're a lifetime member of the hog trough. But they'll be doing the dirt work and all that. And all you can see, maybe see the concrete truck out there. But they're laying the foundation. If you don't get the foundation right, it's not going to stand. And people might despise that foundation. People might despise, hey man, that so much work that goes into the foundation. But it's important when you're working for God, whether it's starting a ministry or whether whatever it is, in our life and in every area of our life, it's very important that we build the foundation right and that you get the foundation right. Amen. And because later on there'll come a storm, there'll come a test. If that foundation is not right, amen, there'll be serious problems. There'll be serious expense, amen, that must take place to correct the problem that is laid. The house we bought, they added on. And, you know, they didn't take care and do the footer right. Well, when it come time and we bought the house, we had to do foundation repair. And I know it's not necessarily an uncommon thing for foundation repair in this area because of, you know, extreme wet seasons and then extreme dry season and things like that. But the foundation is so important in building. It is the most important. And it is not even seen. Think about that in your Christian life. The most important is not even seen for the most part. Amen. We must build the foundation. Matter of fact, when he's telling them the parable of the sower, he said that some fell by the wayside. Amen. The fowls of the air devoured them up. He said some fell on stony ground. And he said because they didn't have much root, they withered away. And said others fell among thorns. And said the thorn, they grew up, but said the thorns caught them. And they was unfruitful. And said, but then some fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. And it's that way in our life. It's that way, amen, in individual's life. Amen. There's nothing wrong, amen, with the seed. It is pure. And God's word, amen, is not the problem when people don't serve God. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not at fault when people backslide. Amen. We must get our foundation right. He said in Mark 4:16, he said, these are likewise, they are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake. immediately they are offended. Amen. Persecution and affliction will come. The Bible tells us that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You get your mind set to serve God, you're going to face trials and trouble. Amen. And persecution. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that he would liken, amen, to those that heard the word but didn't do it, unto those that built their house on the sand and said the winds came, the rain came, the flood came, and said it beat on the house and great was the fall of it because it was founded on the sand. Then he said that he would liken unto those that heard the word and did it, amen, to those who built their house upon the rock. And he said the rains came, amen, the wind blew, the flood, amen, came, the rains and the flood and the wind and all, said, but it stood because it was founded on the rock. You know something that is the same in both instances? Amen, there's several things that's the same. Number one, they both built, amen, and number two, the storm came to both of them. Whether you're saved or not, you're going to face storms. The rain came to those on the sand, and the rain came to those on the rock. The wind came to those on the sand, and the wind came to those on the rock. The flood came to those on the sand, and the flood came to those on the rock. Christian people get sick, and sinner people get sick. Amen. Christian people die, and sinner people die. Amen. Christian people are broke, and sinner people are broke. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Amen. The Bible says he causeth the sun to rise on the evil and the good. Amen. You're going to face trouble. Somebody tell you, you know, when you get saved, you won't have no trouble. That's not true. That's a lie. Amen. You will have trouble no matter what. But you have somebody with you. You have somebody to hold your hand. You can stand the test of time. Your house don't have to fall in the storm. Amen. It can be founded upon the rock. The foundation matters. The storm will come to everybody. The test will come to everybody. Persecution will come. And sometimes persecution will come because of the word's sake. The Bible said here in this parable, amen, that said they endure for a time, but when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, amen, God will try us. Amen. The Bible said he tried Abraham to see. Amen. God will try us to see what we're made of. He'll put us through the furnace. The Bible said, amen, in Isaiah said, I have chosen you for the furnace of affliction. Think about that. That God handpicked us for this trial. That God handpicked you. We don't serve a cruel God. We serve a great God and a loving God. And he wants to make what's best out of us. He's talking about the silver and the refining of silver. And the refiner told somebody as he was there, and the fire was getting hot, and they asked him, when do you know that the silver is ready? And if I get the story right, the man, the refiner, whatever you want to call him, silversmith, I guess, or silvertooth or whatever, but he said, when I see my reflection in it, I know it's done. When I can see my reflection in the silver, I know that all the impurities are purified out. And the Lord, when he sees his reflection in us, when the world sees the reflection of God in us, amen, when we shine forth, somebody wrote that song and said, the refiner of silver, the maker of gold is working on my life. Hallelujah. The same one that made the silver is working on me. Hallelujah. The same one that made the gold is working on me. God don't make junk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. The foundation, getting it right, the test will come. The trial will come. Matter of fact, Corinthians, when Paul was talking to them concerning they was going on, said some of them saying they was of Apollos and some of them of Paul, back and forth. One of them said, well, I'm under Apollos. Well, I'm under Paul. And Paul come in there and said, Apollos is nothing and Paul is nothing. He said, y'all are carnal. You shouldn't do this. He said, some one man plants and another man waters, but God gives gives the increase. And he said, we're God's building. He said, we're God's husbandry. We're God's building according to the grace which is given me. Amen. A wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Amen. And another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. The Apostle Paul is telling this church, amen, because he had founded that church. And he had founded them. He had preached to them the gospel. They was heathen people. Amen. And God used Paul. He didn't come with fancy words. He came in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, I didn't come to you with excellency of words, of man's wisdom. But he said, but I came to you, amen, in the demonstration, the power of the Holy Ghost. And here they was coming in all this trouble. And he writes this letter back to them. He said, I laid the foundation. And he said, other people are building on the foundation that I laid on. He said, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the only foundation for any life. Jesus is the only foundation for any movement. Jesus is the only foundation for any ministry. Jesus is the only foundation that will stand. He is the chief cornerstone. He's the stone that the builders rejected. Amen. And now he's the head of the corner. He's the stone that Daniel saw with Ham that came down. Amen. And took and cut that rock right out of the mountain. And that stone went rolling down towards that image. Amen. That Nebuchadnezzar had saw and hit the feet. Hallelujah. Amen. That was iron and clay, which represented the Roman government, and hit that feet. Amen. And the Bible said that stone became a big mountain and filled the whole earth. Amen. That was Christ dying on the cross right there. Amen. Thousands of years before, that king who was the head gold. Amen. Daniel told him, he said, you saw what God's going to do. Amen. God's going to bring that stone. Hallelujah. And he's the foundation. And we must have a foundation in our life. If we don't have a foundation, the Apostle Paul told the Galatians, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed. Amen. So soon removed from what God has given you. I mean, the devil will talk some people out of it overnight. Amen. He said to the Ephesians, he said, don't be like children which are tossed to and fro, back and forth. Amen. We've got to get established. We've got to have a foundation. Amen. And the Apostle Paul said, I laid the foundation. It's Jesus Christ. He said, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, you can build all kinds of things on this foundation. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, precious stones. You can build all kinds of things on it. But remember, the fire will come and try it. You can build it, but the fire will come and try it. Amen. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. I was reading or telling the children, you know, about the three little pigs. You know, built the house out of straw and the twigs and then the brick. I was reading the book there, and I've said this before, but the big bad wolf, you know, huffed and puffed and blew the house down. Well, the book said that the little pig ran on down to the other pig's house. Well, that wasn't the way it was when I was a kid. When I was a kid, the little pig got ate up. And I wondered, I thought about it, and I'm not going to write Dr. Seuss or nothing like that, start some big picket line at a Books a Million. I've got better things to do. Ain't that something? Man, all the time these people have protests and all this stuff. But anyways, whatever, get me off on that. I did think it was interesting that the same people protesting at the RNC was the same people protesting at the DNC. Burning flags over here and burning flags over there. Same people. But anyways, the little pig got ate up. When I was a little kid, Brother Holden got ate up. It taught us children that choices have consequences. You build your house out of straw, I mean, it might be bloody and gory and all this stuff that we don't want to tell our children. But hello, If you make bad choices, you're going to suffer the consequences, even if you're a little pig that has hair on his chinny chin chin. But here this book has got him running down to the other house. And then here comes the big bad wolf, knocks on the door, and there's two of them there. He huffs and puffs and blows that one down too, just like in the store. They take off down to the other pig's house, and the other pig had worked and made wise choices. Amen. And now he's got to pay he's got to feed them corn. I'm not running for office tonight. Choices have consequences. You build your house out of straw, the big bad wolf is gonna eat you up, is what I was taught when I was a kid. It was in the books. You build your house out of twigs, you're gonna get eat up, and the big bad wolf is gonna gobble you up. If you build your house out of the brick, it will stand when he comes and blows. And you'll live, and you'll be the only one. My God, help us in this day and hour to realize, amen, we make choices, there are consequences. You can build, stubborn wood on this foundation, but the fire will come. You can be a weak Christian if you want to, but the test will come. You don't have to read your Bible and pray, amen. You can go under the name only. Amen. You don't have to be faithful to God, but there'll come a test in your life. The fire will come, and you may not be able to stand the fire. Amen. You can weaken down the foundation, but the building will crack. Amen. It's important for us to realize, amen, that the small things matter in our life, and that's why God is so precise. That's why God wants to take out that little bitty ounce of bitterness that nobody knows is there. Because he knows, he's so precise, it will affect the whole building one day. He wants to take out that little ounce of lust and pride and on, because it will matter. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Amen. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. God brings the fire into individuals' life. Amen. And sometimes they lose everything, but they're saved. Hallelujah. Amen. And somebody sang a song, said, I lost it all when I found everything. Hallelujah. And it's important for us to realize, like Sister Bethany sang a while ago, what good is all I've come to know if I gain the world and lose my soul? It's a price I can't afford to pay. Amen. My soul is worth it all. Above all else, I must be saved. Despise not the day of small things. When God's laying that foundation in your life, when God is taking extra care, amen, to pour the footer, amen, he knows that he's going to build a wonderful building here. Amen. Nobody can see that picture but that architect and that builder, that master builder. Everybody else drives by and all they see is that flat foundation and those plumbing, things sticking up, pipes. But that builder, in his mind, he sees that fancy brick home. Hallelujah. Amen. The bank, amen, has got a picture of what that house is going to look like. Praise the Lord. Amen. That young couple, or that, amen, that man or woman that is saved and worked, and now they're approved for this new home. They've got a picture laying on their counter. They've got a picture on their refrigerator. Amen. It might be just printed off of the computer, but that's the house. They dream about it. They think about it. Amen. But they're laying the foundation right now. Hey, forget about the foundation. Nobody's going to see it anyways. Nobody's going to care about that anyways. Come on, let's get some cabinets in here. They say, sir, go back home. You're foolish. There's steps. That's why when Elijah came near at the time of the evening sacrifice, there had been all kinds of commotion going on Mount Carmel that day. 400 prophets jumping on the altar, falling down, cutting themselves. It ain't God's will for you to hurt yourself. Even fasting and praying is good for the human body. Amen. People cut themselves and harm themselves and hurt themselves. God ain't got nothing to do with that.
That's demonic. That's devilish. The devil wants to hurt us, but God wants to help us. There's cutting themselves. I'm talking about doing things right. Amen. The importance of doing things right. He came near. Amen. The Bible said he took 12 stones. Why not 13? Because there's 12 tribes in Israel. And God said put 12 stones. The Bible said he laid them in order. He put them just the way it's supposed to be. Amen. It can't be so chaotic. Sometimes our lives are so chaotic. God wants to come in and make order. Bible says, let everything be done decently in order. God is not the author of confusion. I know our minds get confused and our lives get confused because we're so busy and everything's going on. Amen. But it's not God's fault. Amen. The Bible said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Hallelujah. Lord, help us tonight. Somebody sang a song the other day, said, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. I thought, that's not proper English. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I kept thinking about it and then I thought, wait, the Bible says, amen, he'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's what they were singing about, brother. They were saying, hallelujah, God, you're going to keep me in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on you. Amen, the importance of small things, despise not the day of small things. Amen, he laid everything in order. He even cut the bullock up and laid it in order. Hallelujah, and the Bible said he came near. Amen, after they poured all that water on there and he prayed 63 words, amen, with his head down, amen, and the Bible said the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice, amen, licked up the water and the dust all around, the people fell on their face and said, the Lord, he is God, amen. They was laughing at that old prophet. They was despising that single prophet, 400 prophets of Baal and all those people around, amen, but God said, don't despise small things, because I can work in the nick of time. Hallelujah. It's important for us, amen, to take very, amen, much notice of what God wants to do in laying the foundation. Amen. The Bible says, despise not the day of small things. I'm going to move on. He said, for they, verse number 10, for they shall rejoice. What God is saying here is Zerubbabel, you're laying the foundation and everybody's mocking and you're working and you're sweating, but the day will come when you'll be shouting. The day will come when you'll have rejoicing. The day will come if you'll hold true to God. Now I want to preach to you tonight, church. You may not see this in your life right now. You may not see it in the way you're walking right now, but God's word is true. They shall rejoice. Amen. There'll come a day when they'll be shouting. There'll come a day when they'll be rejoicing. There'll come a day, amen, when God will turn it all around. Hope. That's what we've got to hold on to. Hope. The devil wants us to give up in the hard times when everything doesn't look as good. Amen. But the Bible here says there shall be rejoicing. You may mock right now. Amen. You may think right now that there's no hope. Amen. But the day will come, they shall rejoice. Let me just read you a few verses of scripture before I move on in this chapter. Amen. Psalms chapter 5 and verse number 11, the Bible said, but let those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Hallelujah. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield. I've got a reason to rejoice. So that's nothing but a little bitty foundation right there. Amen. And the world despises small things. Why would you rejoice? There might be in a rough time or a storm or test. That reminds me of a story that I read about this ship that was traveling, amen, many years ago, and said that they come into a very fierce storm, and the ship was just stowing people around and all kinds of things, and said people went to their cabin and to their, you know, where they're supposed to be and all that, sleeping quarters, and hid and tried to hold on and huddled their family close. They thought they was going to die in that storm, and somebody, you know, opened the door and looked out, and there was a little girl, had her baby doll, and was singing to that baby doll, playing. Somebody said, come here, look at this. This little girl. She's there. So it kind of got a little crowd there in the hallway, in the ship. And somebody said, "Hey, baby, ain't you scared?" She said, "No." Said, you need to get your mama. You need to get in the room." Said, she just looked at him, said, ain't you afraid?" She said, "No." Said, somebody said, "Why ain't you afraid?" And so that little girl stopped and looked at him and she said, "I'm not afraid because my daddy is the captain of this ship and he's been in the storm before." Hallelujah. And we come into church and we come in, things are going bad, not going good. And somebody look at us and said, "How come you can praise God? How come you can rejoice? How can you shout? How can you praise God?" I'll tell you why. My daddy's the captain of this ship. Amen. And he's been in the storm before. He's sailed many a storms and he's made it through. Amen. And I've got a reason to rejoice. I've got a reason to shout. Amen. Blood bought by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Like Brother Wayne said, says, amen, saved, got the best thing going, hallelujah, amen, got a joy in our heart, a song in our mouth, amen, the power of the Holy Ghost with us, amen, all the things that we could rejoice on, God's been good to me, I've got a reason to rejoice. Thank you, Jesus. I heard another story about a man whose house burnt down. He lost everything. Said he was going through there. He didn't lose his family. His family was all safe. But said he's going through there, looking, trying to just walking through, trying to think, well, this is where this room was, and this is where that room was, and this is where, like that. And said he kicked something and said it started singing. He looked down and he said it was one of his little girl's baby dolls. You know, they got them little push buttons or something. And said he couldn't even hardly recognize what it was, but that cotton or whatever and that fire had burned over so quick it didn't melt the batteries. And when he touched it or stepped on it, amen, that little doll started singing. And he said the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, "You don't have to lose your song even when your house burns down." Thank God. Amen. They shall rejoice. Things may get rough. Things may get hard. Amen. It may be small things going on in my life, but I don't have to lose my shout. I don't have to lose my rejoice. This joy that I have, the devil didn't give it to me, and the devil can't take it away. Amen. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. The joy that I have doesn't come because it didn't come because of circumstances in my life. Amen. The joy didn't come because things was going good. The joy came when I got saved. Hallelujah. The joy came because Jesus imparted it to me. Amen. And the world may despise us. Amen. But we've got a reason to rejoice. The Bible said they shall rejoice. Said they're going to see that line, amen, in Zerubbabel's hand, amen, when they're rejoicing. Hallelujah. And I believe that God has a way of turning things around. God has a way of making it different. God has a way, amen, of reaching down and turning it around. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He said, and I'm almost done. He said, "What are those two trees that are emptying out oil into the candlestick, that stand on both sides of that golden candlestick?" And he said, "Through golden pipes they empty out oil of themselves." The Bible says that he answered again and said, "What are those two olive branches? What are those two olive trees? Amen. That empty out the golden oil of themselves." And he said, "You don't know what these are?" He said, "No, I don't know what they are." He said, "Those are the anointed ones." Now I want to tell you something, church, tonight. There is something that is so important in our life, and that's the anointing. We've got to have the anointing. David come down there, and David was a man that God had used and God had chosen. Matter of fact, the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. And the Bible said that Samuel, amen, and went down there, and all of Jesse's sons had passed before him. And Samuel said, "Is this all your sons?" He said, "I got one more. He keeps the sheep." He said, "We're not going to eat until you bring him." And the Bible said when David came in, he was ruddy. Amen. And they looked upon him, and he was a youth. The Bible said that the Lord told Samuel, said, "Arise and anoint David." Said, "That's the one." And the Bible said that he took that horn of oil and poured it on David. And the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward.
How important is the anointing in our life? Amen. I want to tell you something. Amen. When Saul had an evil spirit that would trouble him, David was so anointed on the harp that he would play that harp. Amen. And the devil would leave Saul. You think about being anointed on these instruments. You girls are wanting to play those instruments? Wanting to play the piano? You boys want to play them drums? Amen. There's people all over this country plays instruments for the devil. But when you play it for God and the anointing is in there, the Bible said he'd play that harp and that devil would leave Saul. What kind of anointing can come upon a person that would cause the devil to leave with your talent? God help us to be anointed. It's important for us to be anointed. Amen. The Bible says that he'd play that harp. They even wrote songs that said, David, play on that harp. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Little David, play on that harp. Amen. I'm talking about it's important for God to anoint your hands. I want to tell y'all something y'all all know, but maybe some of you may not. But when we came and pastored this church, my wife never played the piano. Sister Bobby, you know, she never played the piano. She just ting-ting around, kind of, you know, worse than me. I'm serious now, and I don't think she'd mind me saying it. She just danced like that. And we had accepted to come pastor this church. And we went to revival at Parker Hill, where Brother Harrison was pastoring. And we were sitting there at the dinner table, and he said, you know, he was talking about pastoring and all. And he said, Sister, can you play the piano? Is there a piano player? She said, well, I can kind of, you know, just a little bit. Not really. Oh, no, brother. He said, well, I want to tell you something. He said, we went and I think started pastoring. I may not get this story right, but he told the story about how his daughter, when they was pastoring, couldn't play the piano, and said that they took oil and poured it on his daughter, which is Cheryl. She married to Brian Duke. And said that poured oil on his hand, her hands, and prayed for her, and said she sat down at the piano and just started playing the piano. And said she, and I know her, she plays it, she's an excellent pianist. And so that day, I was, after we had ate with the pastor, we didn't have no children, nothing. And said I was over there praying at the church, getting ready for church, and Sister Bethany come over there. Y'all know the story, I could tell it. Some of y'all could probably tell it better than me. And she said, Sam, I want you to pray for my hands. She'd been praying like in the trailer or something. We were staying wherever we were staying. And said, I want you to pray for my hands that the Lord would teach me to play the piano before we go to Kilgore and play the piano. And so I remembered he said took oil. So I went up. There was nobody in the church afternoon. I took oil and poured it on her hands. She prayed. We prayed over them. She is really feeling the Lord and crying. Amen. Well, we was in service that night. Amen. And the Lord got to moving. I don't know what's going on. Brother Harrison came over to her and said, Sister, I want to pray for your hands. He knew nothing about the afternoon. Amen. He got the oil and poured it on her hands and prayed for her hands. It was the next week we come down here. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. We came down. We came to church. Our first service was Wednesday night. Amen. I'm sure Gina or somebody was there, maybe Sister Holt or whatever. But the first Sunday when it was just us, and the few that was there. Amen. Y'all know, when we came started pastoring this church, there was just five of us. Me and my wife, and then Sister Bobby, her then husband, and their son Shannon. Amen. Just five of us. Amen. Thank God what God has done. We wasn't even in this building. Hallelujah. Talking about that almost sounds like you're reading a book like 40 years ago or something. Do I look that old? It ain't been that long ago. The first Sunday, she sat down on the piano, Sister Doris, and, you know, just played, you know, just, I mean, it wasn't nothing like she can now. Am I right? I don't want, you know, just play. And a visitor came in that had never been to church. He came in that morning about midway through service. He came in. He sat down back there. I don't think he ever came back to church. I think that was the only time he was there, and then it was just us. Of course, I, you know, got to the back door to shake hands after we preached and all that stuff. He didn't pray or nothing. And that man walked out. He shook my wife's hand and he said, that was beautiful piano playing this morning. And walked out that door. Hallelujah. And she's been at the piano every Sunday since. Hallelujah. Never took a piano lesson. Amen. I'm talking about the anointing. Thank God. Hallelujah. I thank God for the anointing. It's greater than anything in this world. The anointing actually chases the devil off. David was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Said, what are these? Zechariah said. Said, do you know what they are? Said, those are the anointed ones. Amen. They issue oil out of themselves. Where does this oil come from? It comes from the inner man. Amen. When you pour out of yourself, God anoints it. Amen. When we do it right. The Bible said that Elisha, amen, that that woman come down there to Elisha and said, my husband, amen, we have two sons, and said, we took out a loan and said, he died. Now they come down and said, I can't pay the loan. And said, they're going to take my two sons and make servants out of them because I owe this debt. Amen. Elisha said, what do you have in the house? Amen. You know, well, I've got granny's old china, but I don't want to part with it. It's worth thousands. Amen. Honey, you're going to have to sell it and pay your debt or your boys are going to be slaves. That ain't what she said. Amen. Oh, I've got an old piano that's worth thousands. No, she said, I don't have nothing but a pot of oil, which represents the Spirit of God and the anointing. And you know what Elisha told her? You know, he said, get them boys to knocking on doors and tell them to borrow vessels, and said, don't borrow a few. Amen. Get as many as you can. And said, when you get those vessels in your house, said, shut the door and start pouring that oil out. Amen. Said, pour it out in those vessels. Those boys, amen, whatever their names was, amen, Sam and Tom or whoever, amen, they take off barring vessels. Amen, they got down there. Amen, she shut the door, started pouring out. The oil just kept on coming. I want to tell you something today. When you start pouring out under God's will, amen, and God's anointing, the oil will just keep on coming. Amen, and God will just keep on blessing. And God will just keep on saving. But you got to be willing to pour it out. You got to be willing to release it. You got to be willing to preach. You got to be willing to teach. You got to be willing to sing. Amen. Girls, you got to be willing to get on that piano and play. And Sister Bethany been like me, said, I ain't getting on that piano this morning. Praise God. She poured it out. She poured it out. She poured it out. Hallelujah. Richard and Evan, y'all will be my sons. Just go get people and bring them up here. Just bring people up here to the front, okay? Just go get them. Amen. Just whoever you want, bring them up here. When they get you, come on, stand up here. Amen. Come on. Bring them up here. Come on. Don't borrow a few now. And make sure you get empty vessels is what God said. Hallelujah. You can't fill what God wants in us with other things. Hallelujah. Come on, boys, get some more. Amen. I may have to get some girls. Hallelujah. Get some more. Get some of those girls. Get some of those pretty girls up here. Hallelujah. Get them up here, boys. Amen. Borrow not a few. Amen. She kept on. Amen. They shut the door, and it's no different than this right here. She started pouring out. Pouring that oil. Don't worry, I'm not going to pour it on you. Amen. She started pouring. All she had was a little pot of oil, by the way. She got that one full and she had set it to the side. She'd pour another one, set it to the side. Bring me another vessel, boys. Pour another one. Bring them up here, boys. She'd set it, that one's full. Come on, bring them up here, boys. Give me some more. Amen. Hallelujah. She filled up all them vessels. Y'all, come on, bring it. Come on. Amen. Filled up. She filled all those vessels up with the oil. My God, help us, Lord. Hallelujah. Not just filling them up. She's just all this widow woman was just filling all these vessels up. Come on, keep them coming. Hallelujah. Fill them up. She'd set them aside. Hallelujah. Come on, get them. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. You boys know how to do it. Come on. Come on up here. I got to fill you up. Hallelujah. This old widow lady, her husband was dead. She just kept pouring out oil. Come on. Hallelujah. As soon as she'd get them filled up, she'd set them aside. Another one, bring me another vessel, she'd say. Come on, bring me another vessel. Come on, y'all help me. I'm done preaching. It's all right. Come on. Amen. Come on, Phil. Come on, get me some, boys. Bring me a vessel. Bring me a vessel. They said there ain't no more. That's all of them. Here's one. She filled them up big, and she filled them up little. Hallelujah. Praise God.
And the Bible says she went back and said, okay, we filled up all them vessels. He said, go sell it and pay off your debt and live thou and thy sons on the rest. Can you imagine God blessing you so much to pay off your debt and then live on the rest? That's what the anointing does. Hallelujah. It is a never-ending supply. Now, I already made my altar call. Y'all already up here, see? Jesus, stand together with me. We're going to pray.